Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I stand here before you, unworthy, my Lord, but you know that better than I. You bought my on Calvary's hill, and Lord, I'm not asking you why, for my understanding is sorely in need. As a mortal, I can't comprehend why a king would leave heaven and die on the cross for the sin of a poor wretched. I just want to thank you for taking me in, for bearing my burden and forgiveness of sin, for the precious communion of the Father and Son. Lord, I just want to thank you. For all you have done. In the midst of the darkness, you came as a light. Now I walk where it's brighter than. You set my feet right when you heard my feeble efforts to pray. Lord, I needed no grandeur to call on your name, no money to pay for my sin, just a beggar was I, but you loved me the same. You were waiting to welcome me. Just want to thank you for taking me in, for bearing my burden and forgiveness of sin, for the precious communion of the Father and Son. Lord, I just want to thank you. Just want to thank you.
Over the years, I have been teaching on the subject of assurance of salvation. Many Christians do not understand that there is a difference in the body, soul, and the spirit. When a person becomes born again, the Spirit is instantly and automatically placed into the kingdom of God. It becomes a new creation in Christ. The Spirit was perfected on the day that you became born again. But the soul is a different story. There is a progress.
Throughout our lives, we are working to bring our souls, our emotions, our being into line with the Word of God. And eventually, one of these days, when we see Him face to face, then we will understand. And the Bible teaches us, then we shall be like He is. The body, of course, we all understand and know. The body will be returned to the grave. And the moment that happens, we are then in the presence of the Lord. For the Bible teaches us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when we get into the presence of God, then we will see and understand how the spirit realm operates. Our soul will then understand everything. The light that God was trying to teach us will become very clear. What we learn here on earth is a big benefit, will be a big benefit to us when we reach our eternal destination. The Bible teaches us that once we're born again, then we need to start reprogramming ourselves. We need to start re-educating ourselves. We need to start seeking what God's will is for us, and we need to begin to understand how God's principles work. Many Christians who have turned back to religion, they don't seem to want to further their education in the Spirit of God. Many today do not believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Many today do not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible teaches for a fact that God has given the gifts of the Spirit to the church. They are in our DNA. They have been planted into our spirit, and we need to bring them out. The Bible teaches us that we shall do greater works than Jesus. That's quite a statement. If you study the Word of God, this is exactly what it's saying, and this is exactly what it means. And today I will begin a series of teaching on this. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open our hearts to your voice so that we can understand. Help us to understand scriptures. Open our spirits to it. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, there is an interesting scripture that a lot of people do not understand. It tells us, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. What this scripture is telling us is, once we know where we stand with God as far as our salvation is concerned, and as far as the principal doctrines of Christianity is concerned, we need to move on. We need to start educating ourselves. We need to bring ourselves to the revelations of God. And many denominations today will not teach on the power of the Holy Spirit. They do not believe in it. Many have claimed that these things have gone out with the apostles. They will not teach on the gifts of the Spirit. Thus, they are bogged down. They wonder why their young people are not interested in the things of the church. Today, when we look at what is happening with technology, technology is taking a hold of our young people's minds and hearts. The world is a very exciting place. They are doing incredible things to the point where they are even getting into the spirit realm. Yes, when we study what's happening all over the world, when we watch how things work on TV, it is very amazing. Young people need something that is challenging, and the church has left the challenge out of Christianity. The young person today needs to see the power of God. They need to know how to operate in the power of God. But alas, far too many of the older generation have neglected to seek that power. Now, there's hardly anybody to teach the younger generation. We know for a fact that God teaches that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. If we do not seek the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God, then our young people will follow after the world. Today, many, many churches are bogged down in baptisms. They don't even know which way is the right way to baptize. The one claims this way is the right way, the other claims that way is the right way. So instead of moving on from their baptisms, they're bogged down and argue what is the right way to baptize. And then you have the laying on of hands. Many churches today don't believe in the passing on the power of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit to the laying on of hands. Yes, we believe in the resurrection of the dead, and we believe in eternal judgment, even though that is not being preached very much today. But we need to go on from there now. We need to preach all those things, but we need to seek the Lord in what He wants us to do with that awesome gift that He has given us. And that gift is the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 27, there's an interesting scripture. It tells us, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you in all things and is true and is no lie, and even as it has been taught you, you shall abide in Him. When I study these scriptures, I understand what John is bringing forth through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The anointing that you receive when you become born again, that is the Spirit of the living God. It tells us that anointing will abide in us forever. It tells us it shall abide in us. And that same anointing teaches us. It tells us here, no man shall teach you. That doesn't mean we can't teach each other. But once the revelation of salvation comes to a person, that revelation has not been given to you by a man. It is God that has opened your heart and your eyes, and that anointing has come upon you. Now nobody needs to teach you anymore. You are now able to reach into the vast revelations of God, into the vast teachings of God, and you can start educating yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit that has been placed within you. It tells us in 1 John chapter 2 in verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. What does this scripture mean? It simply means that your spirit has now been indwelled, has now been indwelled the moment you became born again. Your spirit has been indwelled with God Himself, with the Spirit of God Himself. The knowledge of the universe has been placed into your spirit. That is very interesting. The power of God has been placed into your spirit. The Bible teaches us, greater works will you do than I did. It tells us that Holy One has placed it there. It has been placed into us. Now our spirit has the capacity or the ability to somehow reach the plateau where God is. But we have to work at it. Our soul needs to start seeking it out. It needs to go forward into the things of God so that God will be able to open your spirit and your understanding to his deep truths. Yes, that's what the Bible teaches us here. We can then begin to understand the deep things of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 28, the Bible teaches us this, and God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. One will argue, well, I have none of those gifts. When we study these things, we realize that these gifts are meant for every person who is in the body of Christ. For it goes on to tell us, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. So he leaves a question mark after each sentence here. He doesn't say not everyone is a prophet. He doesn't say not everyone has the gift of healing. He doesn't say not everyone speaks with tongues. No, he phrases it another way. He says, do all speak with tongues? And he leaves a question mark. Are all apostles? He leaves a question mark. Are all teachers? He leaves a question mark. And that question mark is directed to every individual of the body of Christ. Do you want it? If you want it, it's for you. You can seek it out and pursue it. Yes, every person that I know of who is in the body of Christ as a minister, who is excelling in his ministry, deep down in his heart, that is what he is seeking after. And he went after it by seeking the Lord. Yes, we know for a fact many people are preachers, are in pulpits, who have no business to be there. It's not that they are not anointed or they don't have the gift. Many are there because of a reason that is not godly. They want to be held up on a pedestal, or they're there because of the money. So check out your heart before you seek a position in the body of Christ. Make sure that you have the kingdom of God in mind, the furthering of the kingdom of God. If you have a desire to help people, that means that God wants you to go in that direction, and he will anoint you and you will be blessed. But if you have a desire to help people so that you will somehow get the benefit, then this is from your own selfishness and from Satan himself. So a person needs to be careful, because God sees the hearts of people and he ponders their intentions. Yes, this is a truth found in the Word of God. God looks at the human being. He sees what he strives after, and he ponders the deep intention of a human being. So before you seek the will of God for your life, make sure your heart is in the right place. The Lord loves each and every one of us, and he wants to reward us. But for those of you who are not born again, we are fast running out of time. If you do not come to the Lord, tomorrow can be eternally too late. Today is the day that is acceptable. So give him your life and heart today. And the Lord will open your heart to these interesting and incredible truths and make you a blessing. Amen. When one studies the Word of God on what happens to a born-again believer when he becomes saved, it somehow stretches the mind, because we then begin to understand things that we have never understood before. Our minds are instantly opened up to the truths of God. And when you start studying scripture, our minds open up more and more. When I studied a scripture found in 1 John chapter 2 in verse 27, which says, "The anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you." It simply grabs my attention. And then there is another one in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 2. It tells us that we know all things. This is very interesting. How on earth is that possible? It comes by God placing His Spirit within us. And God's Spirit knows everything. Now it's up to our soul to start working. It's up to us now to bring out those revelations from our spirit. And that is done by studying Scripture and spending time with God Himself. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 16 that we have the mind of Christ. Many believers do not believe that today, but it is true because Scripture teaches us that. Scripture teaches us we have the mind of Christ. Scripture teaches us that no man needs to teach us. Scripture teaches us that we know all things. And if Scripture teaches us that, then that means it is true. Within each and every born-again believer, there is this Spirit of God in which lies all the answers and all the power of the universe. God Himself has placed His Spirit within us. So now I have an interesting question. When we look at the church world today, there are many counseling going on. I'm not against counseling, but when I look at what is happening, it becomes kind of like an oxymoron. How can a child of God who knows all things need so much counseling? I'll give you a very simple example. The church body knows that sin is wrong. Let's pick the subject of divorce. People get divorced in the church today, and they go to counseling. Why do you need counseling on something that is so clear? Aren't you satisfied with knowing that it's wrong, or are people looking for some way to get out of the situation? You can't get out of the situation because the Bible teaches us that divorce is wrong and God hates it, and that settles it. So if you know that it's wrong, settle it in your heart. It's wrong, and start seeking the Lord on how to have a better marriage with your spouse, and the Lord will bring His perfect will into your life. Yes, I know this sounds simple. This sounds, a lot of people go through a lot of problems in their lives. But we need to understand those problems come because we make the wrong decisions. So as a young believer, if I'm talking to a young believer now, when you look for a spouse, seek the Lord. When you make decisions in business, seek the Lord. Because if you're going to exclude God in your decisions, then of course, eventually, one day, you may have to look for a counselor. But deep within your heart, you know what you did was wrong and is wrong. So give God your life and heart today. Become a child of God that walks in holiness and in truth. Yes, I know there are a lot of complications, but there are also no excuses. So let's seek the Lord for our lives and walk in holiness before Him. The Lord will open our hearts to these awesome truths and make us a blessing to those around us. Amen.
We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbach, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.